Hey everybody, my name is John Tiernan. I'm the site pastor at Grace Harbor Creek, and I am looking forward to kicking off this Jesus Talks series with you today. So let me ask you this, what's stopping world peace? What perpetuates racism? What ruins marriages and causes broken relationships between friends and family members? Hurt people keep hurting people. The cycle of hurt people hurting other people is all around us. I mean, I've watched people lash out with anger and violence. I've seen people hold grudges for years. I've heard people say terrible things about other people they once called friends. I've watched people withhold love and affection from their own family. Why? Because they responded to hurt with more hurt. I'm sure you've seen this cycle of hurt play out in your life or in the lives of people around you. It can be devastating and heartbreaking to experience. During this sermon series, we're going to hear what Jesus has to say about challenging real life issues like this one, issues that you and I face in our day-to-day lives. And as we read the words Jesus taught to his followers 2,000 years ago, it is amazing how relevant they are to our circumstances and our culture. But just like his original audience, Jesus's words will cause us to reevaluate our approach to these issues. We're going to look at Jesus' teachings on anxiety and conflict and even sexuality. But today, we're going to look at Jesus' solution to this cycle of hurt that we see all around us. The cycle that leads to divorce and abuse, civil wars, bitter hearts, and broken relationships. Ultimately, Jesus challenges each of us to answer the question, how do we respond to people that hurt us? All right, so we're going to jump right into Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. All right, so Jesus just got done teaching the disciples how to address someone when they wrong you. All right, when Peter then asks him this question. All right, so this is one of Jesus' disciples probably thinking about someone who had recently or maybe in his past some point hurt him, and he asks him this. Okay, let's pick up in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Maybe Peter's thinking of a friend who has betrayed him or lied to him. Maybe a family member who said really hurtful things about him. Before Jesus answers, Peter offers a guess. He says, as many as seven times? The rabbis at the time taught that you should forgive someone three times. So Peter thought he was being really generous when he said seven. All right, here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some translations say 70 times 7. Either way, Jesus' answer is completely unexpected, and it probably sounded absurd to Peter and the other disciples. 77 times? Are you kidding me? Who would forgive someone that many times? But then Jesus tells this story to illustrate his response. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. I mean, this would be a pretty good ending to this story, right? The servant gets forgiven of his debt. He goes free and lives happily ever after, enjoying his freedom with his family. But the story continues and the audience can't believe what happens next. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. A story that started with such astounding mercy ends with dreadful punishment. And everyone listening is happy about it. I mean, at first we're happy to see that the servant didn't have to serve the life sentence that he deserved, because that's what we would want to happen to us. But we're so appalled by his lack of mercy that we're glad to see him in prison in the end. The interesting part about this story is that you're in it. And I hate to break it to you, but you ain't the king. At the end of the story, Jesus tells everyone listening what character they are in the story. He says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." You're the servant. You're the one who owes the king an enormous debt. You're the one who's been shown astounding mercy, and you're the one who has to decide how you're going to handle the debts of the people who owe you. Just like the servant, we have a much easier time receiving forgiveness than showing it. I mean, here's the sick reality. We want everyone we hurt to forgive, but we want everyone that hurts us to pay. How screwed up is that? When we're the offender, we want mercy, but when we're the offended, we want punishment. Jesus' teaching on forgiveness was and is revolutionary. It defies our human nature. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us rethink justice and mercy, what's fair and what's best. But more than all of that, Jesus forces us to deal with the question at the center of every human relationship. How do we respond to the people that hurt us? Jesus is giving us the key to breaking the cycle of hurt in our world, the remedy to people perpetually wounding one another. He's telling us that the solution to broken relationships is not punishment. It's forgiveness. So today, there are four lessons about forgiveness that we should learn from this parable and from Jesus's other teachings. Before we talk about these lessons, I want to say up front that forgiveness is a very personal and very complicated subject. We're not going to cover every aspect of forgiveness today, by no means. But I hope you can listen to see if there's anything God wants to speak to you this morning through Jesus's teaching on forgiveness. Okay, so the first lesson that Jesus teaches is that everyone owes significant debts. The assumption in this story is that every individual owes massive debts to God, just like the servant owed the king. Just so you can appreciate how much a 10,000 talent debt really is, it would take an ordinary day laborer 16 years to earn one talent. So if we put this in terms of someone making minimum wage in America, meaning they get paid $7.25 an hour, their annual income is around $15,000, 10,000 talents would be a $2.4 billion debt. The point of Jesus using such a gigantic amount is to show that there was no way the servant could pay what he owed. However much he had, however much he worked from that point forward, it would never be enough. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, he included this phrase, "Forgive us our debts," affirming that we all have debts we owe to God. Everyone owes significant debts, and everyone needs forgiveness. In Romans 3:23, Paul tells us, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But sometimes, if we're honest, we forget how far short we fall. I mean, we're really good at keeping track of other people's debts, but we can forget how great our debts are. We can start to live as though our debts are small. Stop for a minute and think of all the debts you would owe God. What are the things you've done just in this past month that you would owe God for? Think of how long your list would be. If you're having trouble coming up with debts, think of the ways that you haven't followed the two greatest commandments. How have you failed to love God with all your heart? How have you failed to love others as yourself? That helps me remember my debts. If you're still having trouble, maybe you should lean over and ask your spouse or ask your family at the dinner table, and they might be able to add to your list a little bit, some of your debts. Here's some of the things that will be on my list, right? Especially if I ask my family. Debts that I would owe God for this past month. Paying more attention to my phone than Braden, my son. Being more concerned with tasks than people. Judging people for acting differently than I think they should. Caring way more about what I want than what Kristen, my wife, wants. Putting little to no effort in certain friendships. Letting the whole day go by without praying or acknowledging God. I mean, that's my list. Just for a month, some of those things would show up. Imagine your list over the course of your entire life. That list would include your deepest regrets, your worst mistakes, every hurtful action. It can be overwhelming to think about, but it's so important to recognize the enormity of our sin against God. Pretending like our sin is small diminishes our desperate need for a Savior. But remembering our own debts helps us put other people's debts into perspective. Okay, so the second lesson we learn from Jesus is that forgiveness is a choice to cancel the debt owed to you. Verse 27 says, "And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." Jesus didn't say that the king reduced his debt. He wanted us to see that God cancels our debt. Jesus wants us to not only understand our significant debt, but God's complete forgiveness. David describes God's forgiveness in Psalm 103:12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Forgiveness is not ignoring or downplaying someone's debt and pretending like it didn't happen. It's acknowledging that a debt has been incurred, but choosing to remove it from that person's account. Psalm 32, David writes this: "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them." When God forgives us, he no longer counts our sins against us. Forgiveness is a choice. The king chose to forgive. The servant chose not to. It's not easy to choose to cancel someone's debt, but it's the choice that God made for us and the choice that Jesus calls us to make as well. Okay, so what else does Jesus teach us about forgiveness? He teaches us that reconciliation comes through forgiveness, not punishment. In this story, the servant becomes the antagonist the moment he chooses punishment over forgiveness. He seeks out his fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. To put this into perspective, 1 denarius was equal to 1 day's wage. So 100 denarii is the equivalent to 100 full days of work. So using our same minimum wage calculations, this would be over $5,000. So if this was the only debt in the story, we'd all agree that owing someone $5,000, 1/3 of your annual income for this person, is a significant debt. But in comparison to $2.4 billion, $5,000 is a drop in the bucket. After his fellow servant begs him for mercy, it says he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. The servant refuses to forgive him and chooses instead to punish him and make him pay. He's spitting in the face of the king's incredible mercy. The goal of forgiveness is reconciliation. The Apostle Paul describes this in 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." Why did God forgive us? So that we could be brought back into a right relationship with him. Jesus gave his life so that we could be reconciled to God once and for all. He took the punishment that we deserve for all our debts to God so that our mistakes and our failures no longer keep us from our holy Creator. God chose to cancel our debt, not to ignore our sin, but to completely remove it by the blood of Jesus, his Son. Aren't you glad that God chose forgiveness over punishment? Some of you struggle with forgiving yourself. You're still defining yourself by your hurtful actions and mistakes from the past. It's so important for you to hear this today. God doesn't define you by your hurtful actions and mistakes anymore. When you accept Christ, you are forgiven and accepted and loved unconditionally. And it's time for you to trust God's declaration that your debt is canceled. Jesus paid it in full. It is finished. Some of you have never asked for that forgiveness. You've never trusted Christ to be your Savior. You've carried your guilt and felt the weight of your sin. And maybe you felt it before, but today for the first time, you realize those sins are first and foremost against God. Your first step is to acknowledge that you owe God significant debt and ask him to forgive you. If that's you, there's gonna be an opportunity later in the service for you to take that step. Okay, the final and most important lesson we learn from Jesus is this: forgive in the same way you've been forgiven, without limits. Remember Peter's simple question? How many times should I forgive someone? In other words, what's the limit to my forgiveness? How many strikes before I can feel justified in holding a grudge, harboring resentment, seeking revenge, not speaking to someone? Jesus replies 77 times to show that there should be no limit to our forgiveness. When we think in terms of limits, we immediately show how little we understand and appreciate the forgiveness we've been shown by God. And then Jesus tells this story to help us see the disgracefulness of unforgiveness. He describes an unimaginable debt being forgiven, and then that forgiven person does the unthinkable, choosing punishment over forgiveness. Listen to the king's response again. "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Everyone listening to Jesus' story would have had the same thought. How could this servant be so unmerciful when he was shown such incredible mercy by the king? And yet how often we find ourselves doing the same thing, refusing to forgive, choosing to punish instead of showing mercy, making them pay instead of canceling their debt. How are you making people pay for their debts in your life? We often use relational punishment, lashing out in anger, hurtful words, criticism, sarcasm as a means to pay them back or hurt them back. Some of you don't even realize what you're doing is punishment. You're hurting those people by withdrawing. You're punishing them by your silence and avoidance. You're choosing to withhold your love and affection. Maybe your punishment is all inside and no one knows about it but you. You're harboring this bitterness and resentment. You're telling the story in your head of what a terrible person they are over and over again. You're hurting them in secret. This is the path of punishment and revenge, eye for an eye. This is the path the servant chose. You hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you. You didn't call me, I'm not gonna call you. You lied to me, I'm gonna lie to you. You insulted me, I'm gonna insult you. Let me ask you, how's that working for you? Do you see that improving your relationships? Are you a happier person because you're taking the approach of punishment instead of forgiveness? Or is unforgiveness perpetuating this cycle of hurt in your life and theirs? Jesus gives a strong warning at the end of this story. After describing how the king put the servant in jail for not showing his fellow servant mercy, Jesus says this: "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." What does Jesus mean by this? Will we be punished for not forgiving others? When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." After finishing this prayer, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What Jesus is saying is that if you're gonna follow me, then you're gonna forgive like me. This is the heart of Jesus' teaching on forgiveness. Forgive others in the same way you've been forgiven. But what if I choose not to forgive? Jesus tells you to expect the same unforgiveness from God. What? What about grace? What about salvation through faith alone? I thought all I needed to do was trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I'd be forgiven. If you're unwilling to forgive others, you should question whether you've really received God's forgiveness in the first place. Jesus teaches us very clearly that following him means forgiving in the same way we've been forgiven. So how does God forgive us? He forgives you often. He forgives you completely. He forgives your small offenses and he forgives your worst offenses. He not only forgives you the first and the second time, he forgives you the 77th time. He not only forgives your $10 debts, he forgives your $1 billion debts. How are we called to respond to the people that hurt us? Jesus teaches us to show the same limitless forgiveness you've received. This is our big idea today. Show the same limitless forgiveness you've received. I hope by now you're thinking of someone specific, someone that hurts you, that you need to forgive. And I hope you're realizing that forgiveness is not an optional thing for Christ followers. Some of you are thinking, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how deeply this person hurt me. And you're right. I don't know how deeply you've been hurt. I can't pretend to understand the pain you've experienced. And I can only imagine it's similar to what I've watched other people walk through. And it's terrible. But here's what I know. If you are a Christian, you've been forgiven for incredible debts, much greater than the ones that person owes you. Jesus commands you to walk the hard road of forgiveness, not because that person deserves it, but because he does. We forgive first and foremost out of obedience to Christ. We forgive out of love for the person who hurt us in the same way God loves them, to break that cycle of hurt in our relationship with them. And we also forgive for our own sake. When you forgive someone, you no longer feel the need to punish them with your thoughts and emotions. You can finally release the poison of bitterness and resentment in your heart towards them. Okay, let's talk about what this looks like. What does it look like to forgive someone? My first challenge to you is to take the next step in forgiving that person who hurts you. And so here's a few steps that can help you do that. As we start though, forgiveness is a process. There's usually many steps along the way. Pastor Derek did a series called The Forgiveness Project a few years ago. And the second message is all about overcoming bitterness and learning how to forgive others. Several of the steps that we're gonna talk about came from that message. And I'd encourage you to listen to it if you wanna understand forgiveness better. Here's some steps that you can take that will help you forgive others. Pray for them. Praying for that person that hurts you helps you see them like God does, through eyes of love and compassion instead of eyes of hate and resentment. Ask for the strength to forgive them. Okay, second, make a list of their debts. Write down all the ways this person has hurt you. Be specific. And when you're ready, in time, burn that list as a tangible symbol that you're canceling their debt. And tell God that you're forgiving that person. Choose to cancel their debt completely, no matter how severe. Although God will probably lead you to speak to them at some point, you don't need to talk to them to forgive them. You can take this first step without even speaking to them. It's about forgiveness in your heart first. You're not responsible for their response to your forgiveness. You're responsible for forgiving their debt the way God, through Christ, forgives yours. Third, tell a different story. Forgiveness is a choice not to define someone by their hurtful actions. What story are you telling about them in your head? Are you blinded by your pain? Do you have tunnel vision that's leading you to focus only on the ways that person has hurt you? You can't control the negative emotions that come when you remember the hurt they've caused you, but you can control what story you tell yourself about them. Separate their hurtful actions from their identity. You can say, I hate the pain you caused me, but I know that you are more than your mistakes and your bad decisions. Start telling the story about how God sees them and the good that they add to your life instead of repeating all the ways that they've hurt you in the past. All right, fourth, invite support. We're more likely to forgive when we have someone supporting us along the way. Your next step in forgiving the person who hurt you might be just telling someone else that God's asking you to forgive this person. This could be a close friend, maybe someone here at church. A lot of you are in a life group for the first time right now. This is such a great place to invite support. Even if you're only comfortable sharing it as a prayer request, you might say something like, you know what, there's someone in my life I need to forgive. Just please pray for me. That's fine. You're giving them permission to encourage and pray for you along the long climb of forgiveness. These life groups are going to change our church because we're following Christ together and supporting one another in our faith. If you're still looking for one of these groups, I'd encourage you to go to Group Finder on our website, or you can show up at any of our locations Wednesday night at 6:30, Connection Point Group, an open group for anyone who's interested. For those of you who are carrying deep hurt, this whole message is just like making you shake in your chair. I'd encourage you to process those feelings with a counselor. You can email gethelp@whoisgrace.com. I've talked to counselors. It's been so helpful for me to have someone else to ask good questions and support me along the way. I also need to say that if you're in an abusive situation, your priority should be safety for you and your family. Once you've taken that step to be safe, then you can start having this conversation about what it looks like to forgive in that situation. Okay, the next step you might need to take, move toward reconciliation. The goal of forgiveness is reconciliation, broken relationships restored, damaged relationships healed. Jesus is in the restoration business. He came to restore our relationship with God, but he also came to restore our relationship with others. He came to break the cycle of people hurting one another. Jesus desires for us to follow his example and reconcile relationships whenever possible. Whether it's a marriage or a friendship, forgiveness is the only remedy to broken relationships. Forgiveness is the mountain that we must climb in order to bring a relationship back together. It's not easy. It's not quick. It's often long and difficult.